Is anyone else just constantly worrying? I feel like it can't just be me, but I feel like worry should be my middle name. But I have recently discovered Cover My Bubble. Cover My Bubble are a family insurance company who started their business in memory of their daughter. When Lilybeth passed away, they didn't have any insurance and lost Emma's income into the family, which was very difficult. They are here to help families with affordable insurances such as life, critical illness, income protection, children's cover and bump cover. Yep, children can be covered too. Now Emma loves a question, so why not reach out to her at Cover My Bubble and let her help you. Hello and welcome back to my podcast, Tits, Tums and All Things Mum. I am your host Lottie and I am here to normalise normal parenthood and to show everyone that really we're all just winging it. Join me and my amazing guests to make sense of the chaos and work through motherhood together. Welcome back to Tits, Tums and All Things Mum. I am here with the lovely Elizabeth from Milking It Mama today. Hello, how are you?
Hello, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. So we've actually met before at Glow Mama, which you won. Congratulations. Amazing.
Thank you.
How did you feel when they called your name out?
It's like an out-of-body experience. I was so shocked. I couldn't believe it. I think my legs, I felt like I just run like a marathon. Like my legs completely gave way. I was just, it was such a lovely feeling. But it was, I still actually can't believe it happened.
Yeah, well, you are a very deserved winner. So, it was lovely. It was so emotional watching everyone win as well, because like most of us kind of knew each other online. So seeing people that you've like followed for years online pick up the trophies is really, really lovely. I was like just sat there crying at everyone winning. All the photos that they've got. All the photos that because I was sat right at the front, so all the photos that the professional photographer has got of me, I'm like, crying. They're so gross. I literally got like snot everywhere. I'm like, guys, come on, you could have done better than that.
When I stood up to go and collect the award, there's a video that someone had taken, and my husband stands up to like hug me, and I'm in such a state of shock. I just push past him.
That's hilarious.
And we look back and he's like, thanks, you just made me look like an idiot. And I'm like, I was just in such a like, it was such a whirlwind moment. I just,
hey, but I was going to get my trophy. Yeah, come on,
me.
I'm the queen. Yeah. Oh, I love that. Anyway, could you start by telling us a little bit about yourself?
I am Elizabeth. I am 31 years old. I am a mum to my five-year-old son, Elliot. I live in Suffolk. As I was saying, I live in the middle of a field in the middle of nowhere. I'm not originally from here. I'm originally from Surrey, near London. But I married a farmer, and here I am out here.
There's plenty of farms in Surrey.
Yeah, well, not his farm, so.
Oh, okay.
It took me a long time to get used to being out here, but I do love it now. I've been told that I'm adapting the locals' accent, so. I work in a school, in the office, that's pretty much me in a nutshell, really.
Yeah, and you've kind of created this online presence kind of around what we're going to be talking about on today's episode. And today's episode does come with a trigger warning because we will be talking about baby loss, miscarriage, IVF, all of those things. But you share very openly on your social media about all of these things. And I've had lots of guests on before. I've had Tara on before, your fellow Glow Mama winner. And I've had Bex on before as well, who have spoken about their IVF journeys and baby loss as well. But something I've come to learn, because I've not been through it myself, is that everyone's journey is so, so different, despite the fact that you're all going through the same thing. There's just so many different ways that you can experience it, different paths that you can take. So could you start by talking us kind of through your trying to conceive journey?
So I guess for me, if I take it back to before I had Elliot, so me and my husband got married in 2017, and we literally came out of our wedding and he said, "You want a baby now, don't you?" And I said, "Yep, literally, I've just said I do, and that's exactly what I want," because for as long as I can remember, I've just wanted to be a mum. I genuinely think that's what I was put on the planet to be, was to be a mum. So we started trying straight away. Unfortunately, in that time, it took us a year to fall pregnant with Elliot. But in that time, I had two miscarriages. I did not have a clue that that could happen. I remember thinking, I'm, you know, in my early 20s, how is this happening? This only happens to, really naively, I thought this only happens to older women. You know, I'm really healthy. I don't drink too much. I don't smoke. I'm, you know, all these things. The doctor just said, "Oh, it's one of those things. It's really unlucky. It won't happen again." Obviously, it then happened again. And again, they said, "You know, just keep trying." You know, no one really gave me any advice or anything. I was just made to think that it was bad luck. Then obviously I fell pregnant with Elliot, and I count my lucky stars every single day that I carried him to term and he is here today. I mean, he is my miracle. And then in 3 years ago, me and my husband decided we would try for a second baby, and naively I thought, oh, this could take a year, but it won't happen what happened last time, because I've had a baby now, so I won't have any miscarriages. My body knows what to do. It will be fine. And then in that space of time now, I've had four more miscarriages, and there's no reason why. There's still, it's just bad luck. It will happen. And it gets to the point where I think, but it's not. It's not. It can't possibly be just bad luck, because that's a lot of loss. And you know, if you look at it, the pattern, I can't carry a baby. Elliot is the odd one out, because I've been pregnant seven times and I have one child. You know, he's the odd one out. The rest ends exactly the same. So. Yeah, so there's still no reason. They've drawn up blanks as to why it happens. They've done so much testing, and they've said if it happens again, then they can do further testing on samples and things like that, which I haven't had done yet. But it just, that's kind of up to where I'm at now. Three and a bit years later, and still no reason.
I find it really hard to believe that it's just luck, bad luck. Because how can one person not experience any miscarriages and another person experience as many as you have? That cannot be just bad luck. There must be something that they're missing, because that's an awful lot of bad luck for one person.
It's horrible, because I keep saying, no, I'll message my mum sometimes and I'll say, what did I do? What have I done in this life that's so awful that I feel like I'm being punished, because, you know, what could I have possibly done that's so dreadful that this has to happen? And it's a horrible thought to have. And obviously I get reassured, you know, it's nothing that you've done. You know, and like you said, there has to be something. And I've had so many tests done, and I have regular blood tests to check everything. And I remember my vitamin D came back slightly low on one of my tests, and I was like, that must be it. That's got to be the reason. And obviously then I take loads of vitamin D tablets and there's still no change. But I kind of wish there was something and just some magic pill I could take for them to go, do you know what? Yeah, this is it. If you take this, it will be fine. But there's just not, which
I guess
really
it's just
difficult.
The not knowing, isn't it? Because I think people that I've spoken to before on here, like they have kind of been told, I think Tara's got, I think she said like a love heart shaped uterus, which is why she can't carry babies. So I guess it's just that not knowing why. And it's not because you've done anything wrong. There must be something in there that they've just not picked up on yet. But it's just so unfortunate for you that they haven't picked up on it yet, because for you to go through that trauma over and over and over again and not know why that's happening to you, it makes it, I'm sure, even more difficult when you then do go on to get pregnant again. You just, how do you feel when you get pregnant?
I think when I see a positive pregnancy test now, sad, there's no excitement, because I can't allow myself to be excited, because it's all of the feelings just flood back in of, well, what if this ends badly again? You know, what if I experience another loss? What will that do to me? What will that do to my relationship with my husband? What will it do to him? And then also when you're dealing with secondary infertility, you then think, what will it do to my son? Because his mum's going to be a mess. Yeah. And that's not fair on him. He's now at the age where he's asked me if he will ever have a brother or a sister. And when he first asked that question, I just said, oh, you know, maybe one day. And then I thought, well, I'll have to slowly start telling him that the chances are that maybe it won't be one day. And he told someone, he was in the park and someone had said something like, do you have a brother or sister? And I heard him say, no, my mummy's tummy doesn't work the same.
Oh,
and my heart, I was like, he's five. And he's picked up on that. And that's the thing that always worries me the most is how it will affect him, because I don't know, for me, I'm an adult, it hurts, but you have to push through. But as a mum, and for it to be affecting your child is just horrible.
I guess the only saving grace with that is that kids are crazy resilient. Like they seem to get through everything. Like I remember having Hannah Johnston come on here who lost her little boy at 21 months old. And she said that her other two boys, they just like took it in their stride and just kind of, you know, got on with life, because kids are just so resilient. So as hard as it is, I'm sure he's coping with it pretty well. And he will understand with time that, you know, you might not be able to have another one. But then I suppose all you can do is talk to him about the silver linings around that, about him having all of your love and all of that. But secondary infertility does come with those extra issues of, you have got another child that you also have to take on this journey with you, and you have to deal with your grief and your emotions alongside having to care for that other child. So how does that kind of feel for you?
I think it's such a battle of an emotion, because in one hand obviously you're so grateful, and like I said, I count my lucky stars every single day that I have Elliot. I know how blessed I am to have him. And then you feel guilty for saying, I want more. And then you think, why should I feel guilty? And it's honestly, it's a constant battle in your head. Because you're thinking, well, I should just feel grateful for what I have. And it's not that I don't, but I am allowed to say that I want, you know, that I want more and I want another baby, because I know that I have so much love to give as a mum. And it's just this constant battle. And it's then being very conscious as well that I don't want Elliot to grow up and think that he's not enough. And that I was always disappointed because I just had him, because it's not that at all. So I would say, there is just a constant, constant battle going on in your head. The emotions are just, it's just, you feel guilt for wanting more, you feel sadness for yourself. It's just so much going on.
It's incredibly complex, isn't it? Because all three of you ladies that I've had on here have said the same things, and I can almost feel you having to feel like you need to justify your love for Elliot and the fact that you're grateful for him and, you know, the fact that you're happy that you have him. But you shouldn't have to. You shouldn't have to justify yourself. But I get why, because you get those people that will probably slide into your DMs and be like, you should be grateful that you've got one child. I can't have any. And it's like, okay, but stop invalidating people's feelings, because yes, you've got one child, but that doesn't take away from the fact that you wanted more and you've not got that. So I can feel that from you, from all three of you, actually, that feeling of like guilt that you do want more.
Yeah, no, it's incredibly hard. And I always say, it doesn't matter if you've got five children and you wanted six, and you then and you go through all this infertility issues after you've had five children and you experience loss after that, you are still allowed to be as upset as, you know, as how I feel, because you're still going through all those emotions, and it's you're allowed to feel how you feel. And you can't invalidate how someone feels.
No. It's just like a loss is a loss, isn't it? Like whether you lose a baby at 6 weeks or you lose a baby at full term, like a loss is a loss. And people try to invalidate each other's feelings around that as well and be like, oh, well, you know, the baby was only 6 weeks, so was it really a baby? You've planned your life around that little fetus that's in there. You've thought about how life's going to look. You've thought about who that little person is going to be. So no, they're not in a physical sense a baby, but to you, they are a baby. And I think that's what people need to just remember when they're saying things like that it's not an actual baby, or thank goodness you lost it at 6 weeks and not full term, because all of those things to me are just completely wrong.
Yeah. I mean, some of the things you'll hear are horrible. They're like, oh, just like a heavy period. And like you said, like, oh, thank God you lost it when it was so early, so it wasn't really a real baby, and things like that. And when you hear those things, it makes you feel like then you're not allowed to grieve, and that you don't have the right to. And that's why then so many women will suffer in silence, because they've been told they're not allowed to talk about it. You know, you're not allowed to be upset because you lost your baby early. And it's heartbreaking, because so many people will then suffer and never fully grasp what's happened and talk about it, because they don't think they're allowed to and they can't. And it just makes people feel so lonely. And it's the worst place to be.
But thank God there's people like you guys out there sharing your journeys so that mums can feel less alone, and they can kind of reach out to you as well and share their journeys and kind of how they are feeling if they don't feel like they can share it with anyone themselves. And I've actually got one of your lovely little poems on here that kind of touch on some of the feelings that we've been talking about, and I'm going to read one of them out to us now, just so that we can kind of talk through some of those feelings. It wasn't meant to be. Maybe something was wrong. Everything happens for a reason. That's why you weren't pregnant for long. It wasn't meant to be. At least you're still young. Why don't you just keep trying? Well, at least you already have one. It wasn't meant to be. How many weeks were you anyway? That wasn't a real baby then. I imagine you were okay the next day. It wasn't meant to be. Oh, you can have just one of mine. Honestly, just stick with one. I wish I had all your free time. It wasn't meant to be. Oh, it took us ages to get pregnant too. We tried for 3 months, so I know how you feel too. It wasn't meant to be. Isn't it just a heavy period then? There's always next time. Are you sure you want to go through all this again? It was meant to be, but my baby died. My baby didn't make it. Each loss I have died a little inside. it was meant to be, and we are, I'm getting emotional reading this, and I've not even been through what you guys have been through. It was meant to be, and we are allowed to grieve and mourn. We are allowed to stay hopeful that one day our rainbow will be born. That's beautiful. And it just encompasses all of those feelings that we've been talking about. Like, why don't you just keep trying? At least you already have one. I think poems like this are the ones that mums need to see, because it kind of touches on all of those feelings.
Yeah, and I think that's the reason. I mean, when I write, it really helps me, because obviously it helps me to say exactly how I'm feeling. But at the same time, then I know that I can help so many other women as well, because there'll be a lot of women that just don't have anybody to talk to, and I know how that feels, because that was me before I had Elliot. I was completely on my own. I didn't know where to turn. I didn't know who to speak to. And I wished that I had found more people that were talking openly about it. And I think one of the things that I'd said in there was that people think that you bleed a bit and then you're fine the next day.
Yeah.
And it's not only the physical side of things, the mental, just the mental drain that after you've experienced a loss is just, it's horrific. Yeah, you can't just go, right, yeah, okay, next day, let's get on with things. Obviously, when you're a mum, I have Elliot, I have to. I remember going through a miscarriage and I still had to take him to school and I still had to get up, show up and do all those things because I am a mum. And then I remember just wanting to go home and just pretty much just crawl into a ball because that's all I wanted to do. But it's very hard and it's a very lonely place.
Yeah, I can imagine. And people in here, so do people actually say to you, I wish I only had one because then I'd have more free time?
Someone has said something along those lines to me before. And
oh my God.
You have to bite your tongue and just...
I don't know how you do.
I know, and I sometimes think people don't mean it. They don't understand.
Yeah.
And I always try, when people say things like that, I would never jump down someone's throat, and I never say, God, do you not understand? That's so rude, it's so mean, you know, and things like that. I do, however, try and educate people and explain to them how their words can affect people.
Yeah.
And I've done it a few times at events like weddings and things like that. I'll be at a table and I'll say, oh, so you've got one. When's the next one? And I kind of go a bit quiet. And then they go, oh, are you pregnant? Are you drinking? And because they probably are drinking, then they start asking more questions. Yeah. And obviously I look uncomfortable. My husband then looks uncomfortable because he knows that I'm going to say something.
Yeah.
Because I just explain to them that, you can say those things to me and you can use me as the practice run, but I'm now telling you that you shouldn't ask these questions. And I explain what's happened. And I say, look, I've taken it bravely, what you've said, and I'm not offended, but I'm educating you so that you don't ask another woman that doesn't feel comfortable about talking about it and that will go home and will just feel rubbish and cry.
Yeah.
Because you can't ask people those questions anymore. It just...
No.
You just don't know what's going on in people's lives.
It's so good that you're taking the opportunity to educate them, because there are a lot of people out there that need educating on this kind of stuff. I don't know in what world people think that it's okay to ask anyone when they think the next one, when you're going to be having the next one, because I've not been through miscarriage or loss or anything like that, but I was asked a lot after I had Bella, how long is it going to be until you have the next one? When's the next one due? And there was only a very short gap between my two. I I can't even do the maths on it, but there's a 2 year and 4 month gap between them. And so I was pregnant pretty quickly after. And in that gap, I was asked so much, even though I just had a baby, when's the next one due? So first of all, they don't know if I'm having issues getting pregnant or, you know, any of that. But also, I've just had a baby. Like, chill out. Like, why are you going at me like this? Like, and even now people say to me, when are you having the next one then? And I'm like, no, like, you have no right to ask that question because you don't know what's going on in our lives. You don't know whether we've tried to have another one and we're not able to, or, you know, there could have been issues with the birth of Bailey and I no longer have a uterus or something.
Yes.
You just don't know.
You just don't know. And I think exactly that, like, it's not just a case of you don't know if someone's been trying, you don't know if they've had a really traumatic birth and they've now decided they don't want any more children, or it could be for, you know, financial reasons, they don't think they can have any more children, anything. There are so many reasons as to why people don't have one child or any, you know, any children or more than one child. There are so many reasons. And I think it's such a personal question and it's just so flippantly asked.
I know.
And you kind of, you feel on the spot to answer it. And it's,
that's the thing. I had a massively traumatic birth with my first and I didn't know if I was going to have another one because I was so traumatized by it. And do you know, this is another thing, because I was just about to come out with it and I felt bad by saying it because of you being on here and struggling to get pregnant. But I've said this before to the other girls, is because I fell pregnant with Bailey by accident. And it's another thing that I hate saying because I feel bad that I've fallen pregnant by accident and you guys struggled to get pregnant. But I guess that's another, I don't know, is that something that triggers you?
Do it's how I don't, it's sometimes just how it's said, or you kind of, I have to you know, it's how we take things as well. And I think, you know, if I could get pregnant by accident, oh my god, that would be like, you know, a miracle. But if other people get pregnant, you know, by accident, they're not actively trying, and you know, it probably did trigger me maybe 2 years ago. And I think I've now come to a point where I'm probably more accepting and I try not to take things too personally, I think, because I've heard everything now. And I just kind of go with the whole, every single baby is a gift. Every baby is a miracle. So I'm always just so happy for everyone that has a baby. And, you know, whether they're an accident or not, that's they're still a baby. So it's, I always find it's a tricky one.
I always find it so, like, I'm always very conscious of saying that, knowing that a lot of my audience are mums that may be struggling. But then I'm also like, a lot of the mums following me may also have been in the same situation, as in fell pregnant quite quickly after a baby and after a traumatic birth. Because I think if I had not fallen pregnant with Bailey by accident, I probably wouldn't have had another child. Or, I mean, I wouldn't have tried for another child. I may have fallen pregnant by accident. But the birth was just so traumatic that I just did not know how I would ever possibly summon the strength to try for another one. So when people were asking me, you know, when's another one coming, I was like, hold on a second, like, I am so mentally fucked up right now from my last birth, and you're asking me if I'm going to put myself through that again, like, but thank goodness I did fall pregnant with Bailey, because he's a little, he's just amazing. It was his birthday a couple of weeks ago, so he's three now. It's my big boy, bless him.
But you're so right, everyone has something that you know, some people are struggling to get pregnant. Some people are struggling because they've had traumatic births, you know, traumatic pregnancies, you know, there's all different things. And I always relate it to me and my sister. So my sister never had, she was very lucky. She decided she wanted a baby and she was pregnant the same month with her second. She decided she wanted a baby. She was pregnant within a month and she was very lucky. However, during her first labour, incredibly traumatic, and both her and her baby nearly died during labour. And she didn't try then again for another 6 years because she was so traumatised by what had happened. And was terrified. So we both have very, very different stories, but we both carry some trauma from what's happened to us. And like you said, they're both valid, you know, and what you've been through. You're allowed to feel how you feel. Because that's valid, of course.
I mean, all I can say is thank God that Bailey's birth was the total opposite and was beautiful, because that kind of healed the wounds of the first one, because I just didn't think that a beautiful birth was possible. But I just find it so bizarre that there's such a spectrum of like being able to get pregnant. Like, you've got these people who can literally look at a penis and they get pregnant. And then you've got the people who have multiple like miscarriages and really, really struggle. And I'm like, how is there, I don't understand how there's such a big spectrum and we still don't know why there's that spectrum. Like, why can't we all just, you know, why can't it be a smaller spectrum is what I'm trying to say.
No, I completely agree. And it still baffles me because I still can't understand how they don't know what's wrong or what they can do to help. It that baffles me. And to be told, you know, just keep going, just keep going. You kind of get to a stage where, you know, your tank's empty and you can't just keep going because mentally you're drained, physically you are ruined. And there's just no reason for it. And that's the hardest thing. There's no reason. It's bad luck.
I know. And if you don't mind me asking, where are you in your journey now?
So we decided to take a break because mentally it's so much. I think one of the things that people don't talk about as well is the strain it can then put on your actual relationship, because it sucks all the fun out of everything.
Of sex,
you know, exactly, and you're kind of, you're doing that because you want a baby, and then you miscarry, and then you're back to square one, and it's just this never ending cycle of repeat and loss, and it's just too much. So we decided to hit pause, and we'll see in the future, you know, how we feel about it, if we look at any other avenues. I don't know. It's not something we've talked too much about yet. You know, there's still hopefully things we can try and we can do. To see, there's got to be about 1,000 other drugs that I can take if I get pregnant again to try. Because the ones I've taken so far obviously haven't worked. I mean, we remain hopeful. I always say, you know, I'll never stop believing in rainbows, because Elliot's proof that they exist, you know. I have one. And I always believe that, you know, I can have another one. Just have to trust the process.
Because there's different types of infertility as well, isn't there? Because and I guess once you find out what it is, because the reason I'm saying this is I have a friend who has infertility. She's gone through IVF for both of her children, but they found out that it's because the dad doesn't have a tube connecting the I do not know the science here. The sperm can't get out. So as long as they get the sperm and the egg, they can then implant them in. Yeah. So so she can carry the baby. So what I'm asking is, do you know what type it is so that you can then like move forward with different types of help and treatment?
So mine is unexplained infertility.
Oh, that's annoying. So
that's just it. I mean, they've had a very thorough good look up there.
Yeah.
And everything's in working order. They said I've got, it's all looks perfect. It's the perfect, everything's the perfect shape to carry a baby to term. I've been told I've got very good eggs. I ovulate the same day every single month, just like clockwork. My periods are regular. Everything works how it should work. Everything on my husband's side works.
Yeah.
I get pregnant. Everything is going really, really well. Hormones, everything, they're all doubling. They're all looking beautiful.
Yeah.
And everything just falls off a cliff.
Yeah.
And then it's over. And they can't understand in that small window why that happens. So, I think they're waiting now, obviously, if I decide to go again.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it would mean that I'd probably have to go through another loss for them to then work out.
Yeah.
Because they've pinpointed now a very specific kind of window that it all happens. Obviously, I could try again and it all goes perfectly. You just never know. And that's the really scary thing as well, is you just don't know what will happen next time. So
So I guess is your issue isn't getting pregnant, no, it's the keeping the pregnancy.
It's the sustaining the pregnancy, unfortunately. So because we've gone through so many options and talked about so many different things that they can offer to give me, but I mean, I am very lucky. I ovulate like clockwork. My period is always there. I had a period of time a couple of years ago where I didn't ovulate for a few months, which was like just bizarre, and it was so unheard of for me. But I've been really poorly, so they obviously put it down to that. But other than that, everything works, and I should be able to, you know, have another baby, which in a way is really good, because you know, it means I don't have to have, you know, I don't, you know, everything does work, everything is good. But at the same time, it's really hard, because as I said, I kind of just wish there was a magic pill I could take just to, you know, to help and to
I love how you're still so positive that you're like, it is a good thing, and it, like, I'm really lucky because I've got all of this.
Yeah.
But actually, it's also really fucking shit that you don't know why, and you, like, your everything is perfect. So there's no, like, oh, it's this. Like, that must be really hard.
Yeah, it is really hard. And I think I am positive. And if I'd have had this talk with you a year ago, I actually think it would have been really different, because mentally this time last year I was an absolute wreck. I think I would have just come on and said, yeah, everything's rubbish, my body's broken, I'm broken. But I think I'm gearing myself up now to try and be stronger, to try and get ready probably to see and to try again. Because you have to be in like the best mental state possible, because if you're anything other than that, if it does end in loss, then that just, that will break me. So I think I'm really trying to stay positive, and I've done so much work on myself this last year to get myself to this point. Don't get me wrong, there is a lot of days where I just think, what the hell is going on here? Like, seriously, what the hell? But then, I just, I have to stay positive, and I have to hope, because hope's all I have. I don't have any reasons, I don't have any answers, so I've got to hold on to the hope.
I love that. And what kind of things kind have you been doing to work on yourself, just for other mums out there who are going through the same? How have you tried to bring your like positivity out?
So for me, I guess one of the first things I did was I started to try and focus on everything that I did have and everything that was going really well in my life, because I spent a really long time going, you know, this is what's wrong in my life, this is what's rubbish, this is what's going really shit. And I had to kind of get myself out of that cycle and think, well, this is actually going really well. I went back to work. That did really help me, because it got me into a really strong routine. And, you know, I felt like I had like purpose during the days. And obviously my son's at school. And I did, and I hate saying it because I know I don't like saying, oh, I'm so lucky to have Elliot. I am, but I am really lucky to have him. And I do have to keep telling myself that I am lucky to have him. So that helped. I also got a new dog. So that helped because I take her out for a walk for half an hour, 40 minutes every day. And if I don't get a chance to walk her, I can really feel it because like mentally it's so good for my brain just to go and have that 40 minute walk with her. I put my headphones in and I normally call my mum or my sister and I just walk and it's so cleansing and it's so nice. So those are a few different things that I've tried to do to get myself into a much better mindset.
Amazing.
Yeah, just trying to be more, you know, more positive.
Yeah. And what kind of advice would you give to any mums that are going through something similar to what you're going through at the moment?
My advice, you know, advice is really hard because I never want it. And it's so difficult. And I think that's the one thing that I would say is, it doesn't matter how, what I say to you now, if you're going through a loss, I can tell you how sorry I am. Of course I am. And I can say I'm here for you, but it's still going to hurt like hell. And it's still just going to be really shit. And if you are going through it, you have to know that brighter days are coming and you just have to stick it, you know, just to hold in there and hold on, because it doesn't matter what anyone says to you. It doesn't matter if your mum's there and she's hugging you really tight, or your sister's there, your husband's there for you. You're in your own mind and it's shit. But you will be okay.
I think that's a great bit of advice. You say it's not advice, but I think that's such a like heartfelt message that, you know, you can get through this.
Yeah, you can. And like I speak to a lot of women when they're going through losses, and I just feel their pain for them, and it honestly it breaks my heart when I have those types of messages, because I can just feel exactly what they're feeling. And I do always say, like, anyone can always message me, you know, people can always voice note me and scream into a pillow and just send that to me. I don't, you know, do anything you want if it makes you feel better. Because we're all in this shit show together. And that's all you can do is just be there for one another. You will be okay. So if anyone is listening and they are going through a loss, it feels impossible, but you will be okay. You will, and we have to be.
I think that's the thing with any challenge. When you're in it, you feel like you are never getting out. You feel like that's your existence now. That's how life is. And it's really hard to see a light at the end of the tunnel. But I think sometimes you've just got to really, really try and look for that light and push for that light and try and get there. But time, I guess, is what it takes to get there. And yeah, that's all that you can do, really.
Definitely. I think, you always feel like you're never going to come out of it, and you always feel like you're the only one that's, you know, going through that. But just to know you aren't alone, and you will come through it.
Yeah.
But it is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And yeah, my heart goes out to anyone that goes through it.
Yeah. Do you know what? Social media is shit sometimes and I hate it, but I also love it for this reason, because so many of these challenges, you know, loss, infertility, just the general day-to-day challenges of motherhood, we would previously have felt so alone in them, and we would have felt as though we were going through them on our own. No one else was going through this, and it would have been much more of a struggle. But social media is showing us that we aren't alone, and that there are other people out there going through the same. So it's almost like your own little pocket community of people who you've got to kind of have your back.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is, yeah, it is an amazing community to be in. I mean, it's obviously, this was never my plan to create a social media page based around this, but that's where it's taken me. And I have met some really, really incredible women through this. And I really hope that I've helped some women as well. I've always said, if I could have just known that I've helped one person, then everything that I do is worth it, because just to know that one person doesn't feel alone in what they're going through definitely makes me talking about everything worth it, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think you are amazing for sharing what you do, and for, you know, having your inbox open for all the people that are struggling out there. And clearly a lot of other people think you're amazing too, because you've got your award. And I just think, yeah, you're absolutely brilliant.
Thank you. I think you're amazing too.
Oh, thank you. And will I see you at Glow Mama this year? Are you coming?
I don't think I'm coming this year.
Oh, no. Oh, so sad. I loved it last year. Yeah, just buy a ticket and just appear. Because, yeah, like last year was just amazing, just meeting everyone.
So fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, that you've like followed for years and you feel like you know, and then you're like, oh, I have actually never met you, but I feel like I know everything about you. It's so weird.
I know. It's lovely though, isn't it?
Yeah, really, really lovely. And on that note, could you tell everyone where we can find you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram at milkingitmama.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on. You would have helped so many people with this episode, so I'm really grateful for you having come on and been so honest and open about your really difficult journey.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's been
you're so welcome. Thank you so much for listening. As always, could you please subscribe, download and leave a review, and I would absolutely love it if you could share my podcast with your friends. I'll see you for the next episode.